Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 469. Oh, well done, Mike. You caught up with me in the end. How are we all doing? I've had better days, I'll be honest. How about you?
I feel to swear, then.
Oh, bad words were nearly said. Live on air. I need to see the chat, don't I? Right, Mike's trying to check something. It's a long story. And bad words were said, weren't they? Literally just before
Very
we went. Yeah, they were. Is that all right? Mike's checking something, bless him. Oh, now my watch is pinging and I need to see everybody and I need to refresh to see who's first.
Looks good to me. Simon's first.
Simon! Hello, Simon. Simon's been on fire, hasn't he, since the Hancock thing. That's one down, Simon. How many other Tories are there to go?
Right, I've checked it.
No, right.
I've checked it.
Oh, very, very nicely
checked
done.
Checked it for René. Not that he cares.
No, but it's just as well René doesn't care. It's not going well, is it, René?
It's not going well.
Anyway, hello, Simon. No, you're not on your own. We're all here now.
I'll shut up, because we'll get beat on Tuesday.
They're already packing, Mike. It's Germany. Of course they're packing. Let's carry on. Hey, hello, Kim. 104 today. Oh, couldn't cope. Simon, be happy to get rid of Bongo and Patel. I can't believe David
yeah.
is back again. I thought, didn't he walk out?
He did.
He was Chancellor. And he wasn't he the only Chancellor who'd never had a budget? And he walked out. But then when they explained why he'd walked out, it all came back to me. He didn't like Dom Cummings. I mean, neither did the rest of us, but, you know, Boris seemed to. So now he's not there. He's back. Crazy beans. René says we did not win. They're still playing, aren't they?
No, it's finished.
Oh, it's actually finished. No, you didn't. But it's all right, René. You know, we're only in 2 days longer than you because of when the fixtures fall. And the Welsh went home last night. So, yeah, it's not good. It's not good. And that loathsome JRM. Oh, well, I mean, with him, there are no words. Then you'd feel
Who's
like a
JRM?
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Oh, yeah.
And all the associated little Rees-Moggs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hasn't he got one called Sixtus? That's a name I've never even heard of. When I heard it, I thought, is it out of Harry Potter? But apparently not. But he was the sixth child.
Rees-Mogg children.
Yeah, hence called Sixtus.
Sixtus.
Yeah, that was it. Wasn't that his last
Sixtus,
one?
Sixtus, Dominic, Boniface, Christopher, Peter, Theodore, Alphege, Mary Anne Charlotte Emma, Anselm Charles Fitzwilliam, Alfred Wulfric, Layson, Pius, and Thomas Wentworth Somerset Dunstan.
I like Wolfie. The Wolfie one's okay.
Yeah.
Oh my, can you imagine teaching those children their names and to write them down?
God, he's younger than us.
Did you have to say that, Mike? Well, he must be, because that kid, wasn't that kid only about four?
He looks older than us. Most people do.
Well, to be honest, you know, he probably looked older than us when he was at primary school.
Yeah.
Because he's just got that old estate, old Etonian look about him. So, yes, you're quite right, Simon. But there'll be Rees-Moggs around for years, clearly. René did not watch, but saw the news alert come along. I think Mike watched the second half. I've been busy trying to write. Oh, talk about not end well. I've tried to post this already to Twitter and it's not having it. So then when I refreshed, I lost the tweet that went with it. Don't ask. So I'm going to try and publish it again now. So it says tweeting. But the problem is it's not actually tweeting it out, which is not good. Not good at all. The bird's red. But we know now why the bird's red. But it's not tweeting it, so you won't be able to read it because I can't get it published. I'm too old for this. Things should just work. Oh, René saw something on Twitter today. Well, it wasn't... I probably tweeted it late last night. This job nearly really needs to be done and out of the door by like 9 o'clock in the morning. But I'm not up at 9 o'clock in the morning. It was the Ship 30 thing. Yes, that's what I'm trying to tweet. We've got to write an essay of 250 words every day for 30 days, as the name implies. So I had no clue what I was writing today. And I thought, you know what? what do you do? That's screencasting. So I've written this piece about screencasting. So I went from nothing to 600 words for 30 minutes, which is a problem because it should be 250. So I have been brutal with the editing and it's 250 words, bang on. And now it won't post. So the first mistake I made, I told it then, well, don't post it then. If you're trying to tweet and you can't tweet it, right, then let's come out of it. But I lost the tweet. The tweet is separate. So I am going to have to do that thing where I make it smaller and then the bird is green. So I finally have a green bird. Now I've gone into it. The tweet is still there, which is nice, but I have copied it just in case. And it's still saying tweeting, but it's not. Even when I press stop, it's not. Oh, for God's sake. I don't know if we have to post it through this mechanism, but it's not working and I'm not happy. So if I go back to the home thing and then find my second thing and then do the publish thing, then the tweet won't be there, but it's all right because I copied the tweet this time, didn't fall for that one again, and then try publishing it again. Now, see, it jumped that time, but it's still saying it's not tweeting. Oh, good God, it's tweeted it. Right, there's a new tweet for everybody to go look at. Woohoo! Right, so now I need to go and view that, don't I? Just to make sure it's not lying to me, because it could be lying to me. No, it's not lying to me. It's there, good God. Oh, it's a miracle. Right, let me get the other thing that I'm supposed to do, which is then, this is all new to me. Let me know how you guys use Twitter.
Yeah, it's there.
With Twitter, I see that people reply to tweets and it creates this thread. But there's a thing that's appeared where you create a tweet storm. And I've been hearing about tweet storms for almost a year. And I thought, I've no idea what you're talking about. And I couldn't care less. So this guy explained it. And he said that he took us through 6 weeks worth of a course. And what he was creating at the end of it was a tweet storm. And I was still like, not a clue what you're talking about. He explained it. He showed us the thing. Didn't show us how to post it. That was the only thing. But basically, there's an initial tweet and then you reply to your own tweet and it creates a tweet storm. Did people know this or is it just me that's an idiot?
I didn't know it.
But the thing was, this was his life's work. If we heard about this tweet storm once, we must have heard it a million times. So I was really excited to see this thing at the end of the course. You know, oh, it must be amazing. You know, the way he's gone on about it. And he must have got like 20,000 retweets and stuff. He actually took us through and said, there, you know, the results of my labour, there's the Twitter storm. And I read it and I looked at it and it got like 2 likes. And it had taken him months. And it had taken him months because it was a book. And what he'd done was he'd condensed the book into like 20 tweets. And so he really did treat this as though it was his life's work. And I'm thinking, I was expecting like something spectacular and it wasn't something spectacular. So with this one, I said to Mike, I don't want it. I didn't want to edit. It's like, it's 600 words and it's 600. No, you've got to have 250. So there was so much left out. But fear not, came up with a plan B. What I'll do is I've kept a copy of the original inside Scrivener. Don't get me going about Scrivener. Misbehaved today. And I can then expand on it later on the blog. But at least it's up there. Thank God. Right. So let me catch up over here. If Javid left because he didn't approve of Dominic Cummings, then that's to his considerable credit an actual resignation of conscience. That's exactly what they said, Simon. And they had this guy on. And I actually recorded it. I recorded it to show Mike. I do not know this guy from Adam, but he was obviously somebody doing a commentary. And he did know him. He went to university with him. So that's why they'd got this like journo on. Anyway, they'd got him on and they were asking questions about, you know, what was he like and all the rest of it. And he made the point, you know, he follows his conscience and that's why he resigned. And I thought, we can't have somebody with a conscience. Boris will never cope. But apparently that is exactly what happened, Simon. So there's one Tory with a conscience and voted with his feet. Pretty amazing. Yeah, I was shocked as well. Right, so let me catch up with what I've missed. Oh, you won the Tour de France. I had no idea that was going on. The only time I think I watched that was when it was the Tour de Yorkshire. And then I found out that poor Anthony could have been on the TV and wasn't on the TV because they went to adverts. So I was distraught then because I actually did watch that.
That was when they had to switch the Catinian's Weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah, the Belgium cycling team. Oh, this was so funny. Wasn't it Ned that did that? Didn't he start all that weekend? But basically, we were going away on a Catinian's Weekend, right? And it wasn't it the date of it or something?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the full details. But this date was planned in September. And it was like, oh, well, I could get married. Could get married that September, you know, have the do there. Something like that. We were winding him up, obviously. You know, we'd elope with the dog. Could we have Lola and Maya as witnesses, or doesn't it count if it's just his ashes?
Counts
and that
in
she's
my,
a dog.
Counts in my mind.
Well, it counts in my mind, but there you go. Anyway, so they went down to the hotel for a weekend to check it all out and to book the thing. And we got the dates. So it's like, that's fine, we got the dates. Or was it we'd picked October in their mind and then we had to cancel? Oh, it was funny anyway. They came back and said, we can't have that weekend. The Belgium cycling team are staying there. And I thought, men in Lycra wandering around. Yeah, I've got no problem with that. Why can't we go? But no, apparently we couldn't go. We couldn't have that weekend. So we ended up going in October. So yeah, we had to move that because of that. So Kim says the news keeps showing the protests in London yesterday. I've not got a clue. They're not showing it here, Kim. And Simon's agreeing. What's going on in London? What protests are these? I knew there was a child, or a young boy, stabbed to death in London. I don't know if it was at any protests or whatever. We're still hearing all about Andy Hancock and his misdemeanours. And this damn thing about a shameful taboo around sharing female health issues. Nobody wants pictures of that, dear. Go away. Women call for more conversations around women's health and reproductive issues. I'm a woman. I do not. Go away. But that's in Wales, so hopefully that won't happen. So let's have a look. London. Oh, here you go. 9 arrested during protests. We've got banners that say free the press and cut the crap. I've no idea what they're talking about. Oh, it's Extinction Rebellion. Okay, I'm having a look. Not a mask to be seen. Most of them haven't even got tops on. Free the press. The press have got far much too much to say already. That sounds like a... That looks like it's outside Old Trafford, Mike. They're heading to Downing Street with some smoke bombs.
Oh.
I had no idea that this was going on. You are more up to date than we are, Kim. It's a tiny sidebar here. Oh, well, never mind. Is it the one that had the... Some protesters were seen throwing tennis balls at the Houses of Parliament. Oh, how terribly British. Most times when there's protests, people are throwing, like, hand grenades. Oh, no. Just throw some tennis balls. Mind you, it's Wimbledon shortly, isn't it?
Next week, isn't it?
I think it... Does it start on Monday?
I think it does.
I think it does, yes. I wonder if Kaz is going... Kaz was really peeved. They love tennis, and every year they apply for centre court tickets on opening day. And last year they got them. And of course Wimbledon was cancelled. That was the end of that. So what the story was last year was you would keep your tickets and they would roll over to this year. But now we've still got social distancing in place, which shouldn't have been in place if the June date had happened, but it didn't. And now it's July and there's still social distancing. So I have no idea if Kaz gets to go. Let's have a look. Hello, Anthony. Pretty insignificant considering, I would say. Looks like a few thousand. Let's have a look. What's Kim got here? Something on Twitter. This will be the real story. Oh, it looks fairly big from that. Aerial footage of the London protest. See, there's even got a hashtag and we don't know about it. Crazy stuff. That looks quite busy. Is there a little bit of social distancing towards the end? I wonder where they got this footage from. Oh, it's just idiots. That I mean, really. If you don't even know what it's about, and most of us in the UK, not a clue. But if it's Extinction Rebellion, they're just kids playing. Leave them alone. They'll go back in. Extinction Rebellion have been totally dropped by most people. Exactly. It becomes a bit of a parody of itself. The people that would be likely to be quite vehement on their behalf don't seem to like the actual protest that they put in. Didn't they throw animal blood all over a government building? Possibly one Rees-Mogg was in. I don't think Simon was involved, but you never know. All look the same behind the masks. They're saying $500,000. I wouldn't have thought so. But, you know, it's a few thousand, isn't it? Who clearly have nothing better to do on a Sunday. What they really need to do is try and condense everything into 250 words like me. Agonising. It'll never happen. But I managed it. Anti-lockdown protests. Well, why would Extinction Rebellion not support lockdown? Because that way we're saving the planet at the same time. I have no idea. No, we're not seeing much about this. Not being mentioned on anything I've seen. So were you not tempted then, Simon? Well, you wouldn't have been if you didn't know about it. You could certainly do with... this carries on here. This guy looks like he's from the Netherlands. Because he's got a Netherlands flag flying on there. Soon more lockdowns, thanks to these people. How to dig your own grave. Quite right. There was one story that was on today that shocked... Well, not it didn't shock me, to be honest. It was just like somebody's actually admitted it. How amazing. Let's see if it's on the main UK page.
Lola.
What's she up to?
Lola. What's she doing?
She's wandering in the extension and Mike's
good
watching her on a
girl.
Camera.
Now she's hiding from the camera.
It's all right. The cameras aren't something we're short of. No, it's not on the homepage.
I'll go down and see it shortly.
So let me go find it, because Mike mentioned it to me. And it's not something that shocks me, but I'm quite surprised that it's on there. But now it's not. So, you know, like I say to you with the BBC, it's there and then it's not. Not even in the top 10 stories, which I thought it would have been. We have a political presenter in this country called Andrew Marr. And he had a stroke, must be 3-4 years ago. Really struggled to get back to his job. I think it took over a year to be able to speak properly again. And obviously he's on the needy list priority for COVID vaccination. And he's had both vaccines. So he's obviously back at work, still socially distancing, still masked up, and has just caught COVID. How? But the story's disappeared. I saw it before, Mike. I saw his picture. And now it's disappeared. I suppose I'll have to go to coronavirus and look that up. We've also had a guy here. I don't think we mentioned this the other day when it came out. There's been this guy. He's 72. Right. He's been sent to hospital 7 times in the last 10 months. And he's tested positive for COVID 43 times. He cannot shake it. So most people then get like a negative result. He cannot shake it. So that must be appalling. No, I'm not. I'm still not seeing this story about Andrew Marr. They've hidden it. They've taken it away. But I did see it earlier. Do you know, we're going to have to in the future just rely on something that somebody said. Because you look back and stories that were there, they're not there. Well, 50 pages of stories about COVID, you know, which was like 50 more than anybody actually needs. Oh, and that guy, he's just got a face that you could slap. Jonathan Ashworth. Simon will probably know. Jonathan Ashworth is the... is he Deputy Health Secretary? The opposition. Shadow Health Secretary. That's the fella. All sanctimonious about Andy Hancock. And every time I see him, all I can think of... He does this thing from his kitchen. Right, so he's got this posh kitchen behind him. And very, very early on in COVID... His kids bombarded him and he couldn't get rid of them. You know, he's like, just wait. And they wouldn't. And I thought, you know, if you can't train your kids, God help you trying to run the country. And there he is telling Javid what he needs to do. But there you go. Right, let's have a look here. Simon is all for combating the climate crisis, but ER have far too much radical baggage to not relate to climate at all. That's true, actually. They goes to the head, doesn't it? And then they start on about other things. And also, you attract people who are maybe more radical than the group intended to be in the first place. So, there you go. Hello, Dee! Anton remembers they had a fire engine and were hosing a building with either animal blood or just red water. Considering they're supposed to be about climate change, the fire engines were used were pumping out thick black diesel fumes. I do remember now you've mentioned it, that I thought that was their high-pressure water to wash it off. But you could well be right. But I do remember the red thing. But then it just kind of died a death, didn't it? It disappeared again. Protest isn't even a blip against the support there is for lockdown and sensible actions against the spread of COVID. But that's not sexy and doesn't make news, Simon. The fact that you know, people are being good. No, it doesn't work. So Kim has watched Dee's Harvard video, and the most important thing I learned was you're so glad that you didn't pay for a Harvard education. Interesting lecture for free, though. Harvard did quite a lot of free stuff when Apple released iBooks Author, and there was like real things that other people, you know, an entire course that somebody else would be paying for at Harvard. The whole thing was put in iTunes U. I watched a couple of the law ones, and they were very good. They were very good. But I look at the world today and I see the price of universities and the way that they've behaved over the COVID thing, where, I mean, at Manchester, they locked them in. They went to bed one night in the official digs for the university, the official residences. And when they got up the following morning, they basically bricked them in. It wasn't bricked. It was some kind of chain link fence thing. And the students were horrified. I mean, the mental health issues much. You wake up in strange ways, which is a prison in Manchester. They had to back down. But, you know, you're actually paying for that. You're paying for the residence. You're paying for the courses. I see in the future nobody will bother with university. When they've got a monopoly, which they have for things like veterinary science, dentistry, medicine, law, accountancy. You know, it's a prerequisite to that career that you need that degree. But over the years, there's so many other degrees that nobody on the planet needs. Nobody on the planet needs a sociology degree, trust me. I studied sociology once was enough. And then there's media studies. That was one that came out that was like, nobody quite knows what it is, but it's 3 years at university. Okay, when you come out, you may have proved that you can study for 3 years. So I had a friend who didn't make the grades for law. The law grades required to study law at university are incredibly high. And I think she missed by like 1 point. At that point, you got two options. You can either take another subject that requires lower grades, or you could wait and sit them again and try again next year. Either way, it's going to cost you a year. Because if you wait a year, obviously it costs you a year. And if you do another degree, a degree in history, which was what she ended up doing, doesn't qualify you for the law. So then you have to do a year's conversion course. So you're still going to have to do exactly the same amount of work as in your degree, but now you've got to do it in an extra year. So you're paying for that as well. But for things that don't need a degree, I can honestly see people just won't bother. They want like the year out and then they want to change the world. And the thing is now, the technology is there that they could actually do that. So I see university people, yeah, not quite as important to people as it is. Right. Process isn't even, we've done that one, haven't we? A blip. So Simon's fact checking. The Facebook post claims the rally is in the British capital of London against coronavirus rules. 24th of April 2021 attracted 750,000. Figure, however, has been exaggerated. The British media reports the rally attracted around 10,000, an estimate which is borne out by the photos and the video of the event. And the journalist who covered the rally on the ground said there were certainly not hundreds of thousands. Thing is, if it's on Facebook, it becomes the truth. I'm reading a book at the moment. I got this book yesterday. It is by the same author, Charles Arthur. He's a tech journo. And he wrote one book, Digital Wars. It was fabulous. Loved it. So this new one came out, brand new yesterday. It's called Social Warming. Not warning, warming. The dangerous and polarising effects of social media. think I'm up to chapter 3. It's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. It's talking about behind the scenes of Facebook and Twitter, and sort of how we've got to where we are from where we started. It's fabulous. It really is. I'll put the link in. It's called Social Warming, The Dangerous and Polarizing Effects of Social Media. So I'm reading. He's not particularly saying, you know, don't do the social media thing. And I think everybody feels that social media doesn't impact them. That what's on Facebook, I'm only talking to my friends, that your mind is not taken there. But to some degree, it always is. I mean, I would say it doesn't impact me. But there's certainly, I take a decision because of what's going on, how polarised the world is, that I won't post anything. You know, if it's like, oh, here's a cake we had, that's fine. But if it's something like that somebody could pick on, and people pick on all kinds of things, you know, you post a photo and you've got two bedside lights turned on. And you could do without one of those. Global warming. So it's like, okay, I won't post that. So I do. I censor myself. So good read. Good read, that one.
Right, I'll go and see the dog.
Right, okay, I'll be with you shortly because I've got a session. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. He's moving. This is moving. Don't move. It was about game theory-ish, the moral dilemma. Ooh, that sounds like what we did in Jurisprudence. The Spelunkian Explorers. Jurisprudence was hideous.
You were reading Jurisprudence book.
Yes,
time I came round.
Yes, that was the exam that I had, and it was hideous. But there was a thing called...
Hey, baby, want to see my Jurisprudence book?
And no was the answer. You didn't, did you? No, you didn't. Jurisprudence has got this thing in, and it's about the morality of law. We would just say to each other as a shorthand, should the other nine go free? And it was to do with 10 people being put away. Only one was put away for something one day before it wasn't a crime. So should the nine that followed go free? And there was some, okay, looking back on it, I could have found it more interesting than I did. But I was very much into like practicalities where I wanted an answer to a question, not a 45-minute waffle around it. And that's what Jurisprudence felt like. But it sounds similar to that, moral dilemmas it was. Let's have a look. Oh, here if for Kim, they've got women's studies. What kind of job can you get with that? Renee, gynecologist. Well, you'd think so, but probably not. No, it's more of a study of like women in literature and stuff, isn't it, Kim? But to me, that happened here in the 80s. Before, probably the Tory government, wasn't it? But then I can't see them encouraging people to go to university because at the time they were paying for it. But there was certainly, after I'd gone to university, very much a belief that everybody should go to university. Now, while I was studying and coming up to leaving school, that wasn't the case. You know, if you wanted to be a hairdresser, then go be a hairdresser. If you wanted to go do something else that did not require a degree, then don't do a degree. You know, I think that to me, it's like if you want to do a degree in something that you don't intend to use for your job, then it's just like a 3-year jolly, which is probably what happened when the government were footing the bill. Now the government are not footing the bill, but there's an expectation that if you don't go to university, then you're missing out or you're not as highly educated. But for some jobs, you don't need it. Like you're saying, women's studies. Media studies was the one that we had here. But there's some weird stuff, really weird stuff, that's like, you're doing that for 3 years? What does it qualify you for? One of them, I think it's John Moores University in Liverpool, is 3 years studying the Beatles. I mean, it sounds like a good gig if you can get it. But really, what does that qualify you for at the end? I've got, I think it would be a BA, a Bachelor of Arts in the Beatles. It sounds like a joke, and sadly it's not, it's true. Anthony, that's so spot on. When you were at university, media studies was the token degree. That was what they put people on, that really you had no business being at university. There are people that would be better not at university. I didn't do the whole social university thing. To me, it was I wanted to be a lawyer, so I'm going to need a law degree, and that was it. And most of my life was people spent telling me you'll never do that. Because I went to... I said that when I was a primary school student. I went to my primary school, which was in a place called Whalley Range in Manchester. I won't say it's rough, but it's the red light district. And back then, it's like, go to university, don't be ridiculous. Only people from private schools go to university. It was just not seen as a thing. But always for me, it was, but I want to be a lawyer and you need a law degree. That carried on as I went through secondary school. To the point, it was like, well, you'll never get in. You don't do Latin. I thought, it's not my fault we don't do Latin. We're a grammar school. Why don't we do Latin? If Latin's a prerequisite to certain degrees, and in this case, I think it was medicine, dentistry, possibly veterinary science, and law, then why aren't we doing it? You know, clearly we've got a problem somewhere then. I ended up teaching myself. I remember going out and getting this Latin dictionary, which was like a translation thing, like a phrase book for French. And I had to work my way through that and try and teach myself on top of everything else I was doing. All the learning that took place for me happened outside school. School was a distraction from actually learning. It was like, oh, I've got to turn up. And what are we doing today? Oh, we're playing tennis, are we? Lovely. Oh, we've got a music lesson. Oh, and we can't not have an RE lesson. And I'd sit there in the music lesson with the music book in front of me that we were supposed to be singing from. And I would have hidden in it like a maths textbook while I was actually doing some bloody work in these stupid things that you needed to do. What was the one Mike didn't do? Life studies. God, if there's one worse than media studies and women's studies, it's life studies. I have no idea what that was about. I slept through most of it. It was awful. That was the kind of thing that was the impact of marketing. And I thought, you can sit here and tell somebody the impact of marketing till you are blue in the face and it still won't stop them going out and buying the latest and greatest pair of shoes. You're being manipulated. Yep, they now know they are. So now they're grumpier than when they were just buying them. It was awful. Oh, women's issues. Yeah, the history of women's issues. But the thing with that is, you know, I appreciate people like the suffragettes in the UK that fought for the vote and all the rest of it. But if they're fighting for equality, us keep harping on about it is like taking it back and reminding people that women were subservient and whatever. I think we need to move on. Women's studies is not something that I would want to study. I really wouldn't. Adds to general knowledge, but not get you a job. I think it could radicalise you in a certain way, in a feminism way, that as you're studying what happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and all of that, that in your mind it's like reliving a trauma. So, no, that sounds a bit sociology-ish to me. The professor gave Kim the example of four people in a lifeboat and they ate one that had no family. British case law. That's true. That is true, Kim. The full saga of it was, it's the cabin boy case. It's known as the cabin boy case, and it is, it's true. It came up twice in our university studies, one in criminal law and one in jurisprudence. So the criminal law aspect of it, and I do believe it was called, God, you're testing me now, it's over 30 years. The Crown versus, was it Donoghue and... No. What on earth was the case called? I will find it. I think in the Crown and so Dudley and Stevens. The Crown and Dudley and Stevens. There you go. It's a real case. It was a real case. So it came up in criminal law, and the question in criminal law was necessity a defence to murder, because they deliberately killed him and ate him. Don't ask. But their defence was it was a necessity. Right? So it was a justification because the rules of being at sea were, you know, you ate the cabin boy. Honestly, not joking. But that what that sorted out was that no, necessity, not a defence to murder. When we got to the jurisprudence side of it, it was more, on the moral aspect of it. But, you know, can you imagine the first time you're reading this case is when you're doing an O-level when you're 16 and you're like, no, really? Oh, no. But, yeah, that really was a case. So enjoy reading that. Let me have a look here. I don't think it was a lifeboat. I think it was a yacht. And the yacht got into trouble and he knew that there was no way back, etc., etc. But yet the first line of that Wikipedia article is all you really need to know to pass an exam in it, which is we have here what we call common law. It doesn't have to be a statute passed by Parliament to be a law in this country. You can have a common law. But for common law to work, you need to have a precedent. Or the case that you bring creates a precedent. So you have to have a precedent in common law. And that what that established was that necessity, not a defence to murder. There you go. When one of them, the cabin boy, fell into a coma, they decided to kill him for food. Worded very delicately, but not good. Not good. Dee heard an interesting thought experiment. If a prison guard unlocks all the cells and the people don't notice, are they free? They can leave at any time. Let's imagine ye olden times. They wouldn't get caught if they left, but they'd never think to try the doors. That's actually what they say about elephants in a circus, isn't it? That they train them with a chain on their feet. And then when they take the chain away, they're so used to not being able to move so far that they don't. Renee would say they're not free. Are you free if you don't know that you're free? This is like, does a tree falling in the forest make a sound or not? Oh, it's like being back here. Kim went to university strictly to get a job. That was exactly what I did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been there. Most education is used for signalling to employers. Some of it is useful. It's a lot never used and wasteful. Dee, that's really interesting because this friend that did history, she never used any aspect of that. And I remember saying, well, you know, why wouldn't you wait and do the law degree like I'm doing? And she said, any degree proves your ability to study. So I guess even the Beatles up to a point. And that's the sole reason. The fact that you are university educated. But I still think give it 10, 20 years and that excuse won't be there anymore. There will still be people to whom it is a big cachet. I've also got another friend who's just finished either a BSc. I think it's a BSc in psychology. And, you know, she's a lot older than you would be. She's probably in her 30s, late 30s. She's a lot older than you would be at university, but she didn't go to university because she was told that, you know, you're too stupid to go to university. And she's obviously proved that she's not. She's literally just passed this degree and she signed up for a master's. But I think that's possibly in her mind is proving it to herself and proving it to others. But kids these days, you know, they don't need that kind of validation, I don't think. So I think numbers will drop. The universities will have to up their game, put it like that. And another interesting case about a fire crew based on subscription. One person forgot to renew and then their house went on fire and the crew came in and just watched it. Make sure the subscribed houses didn't catch on fire. Should they have put out the non-subscribers' fire or is that unfair to the others? Oh, this is jurisprudence. These are the questions that we did on jurisprudence. So for Kim, most of the students said it was moral to kill the cabin boy if he gave his consent. I felt there's no excuse to take somebody else's life. You can't give consent for that. There was a case on that. Didn't Dee mention it? Somebody mentioned it a couple of days ago. The German case, where this person was prepared to let another person, a cannibal, kill him. And to eat him, obviously. But before he actually died, they decided to have a last meal together consisting of, it didn't end well, let's put it like that. all told, it was a bit chewy, apparently. But you can't give consent for that. There are things that you cannot consent to, and that's one of them. So even if the cabin boy gave his consent, which in this circumstance he didn't, he fell into a coma. What got me was with this. When you think about it, how did anybody know unless they told someone? That was my question in that case. But no, you can't give consent, so I don't think that is valid at all. I'm with you. There's never an excuse. If he died, you know, natural causes, that's a moral matter then. I still wouldn't fancy it, but I guess, you know, if you're starving. But not to kill him under any circumstance, no. Renee's quite right there. I learned about Venn diagrams, never use them, and then Brooklyn's 196. So you never know. Oh, it was like Pythagoras. My mother never got her head around Pythagoras. But there again, that's the maths teacher's fault for not explaining it in a way that made sense or gave a practical usage. So Mum could recite Pythagoras. The square on the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares on the other two sides. Like a parrot, but she had no idea what it meant. And when she said to the teacher, you know, I don't understand it, he said, what's, you know, Pythagoras' rule? And she could spout it back and he said, there you go, you've got it. But she said, I can't calculate it. I don't know why. I don't understand. And was just told she was an idiot. Go away. And I had exactly the same result when I asked a maths teacher about binary. I can do it. And I said, why am I doing it? Oh, sit down and shut up. That was what I got told. Much later, when I left school and I was at college, I think, I got my first computer and it was binary. And I thought, oh, good God, is this why we're doing it? And that was the first time I understood it. So sometimes we just don't have great teachers, do we? Pythagoras, though, however, came into its own twice here in DIY jobs. The first one was my dad said he was painting the windows and he got this ladder. And I said, you sure it's long enough? And he said, of course it's long enough. So he pushed it right up to the wall and it touched where he wanted it. And I said, yes, but Dad, you're going to have to pull the bottom back, which in essence will shorten the side opposite to the hypotenuse. Well, the look on his face was priceless. I said, you're just going to need a longer ladder, Dad. And Mum then designed this cupboard and said to me, I want you to build this. And I looked at it and he said, it won't stand up. And she said, of course it will. I've measured it to the height of the room. And I said, I know. But on the diagonal, which is the hypotenuse, it's taller than the room. So you're going to have to take 2 inches off it. She would not have it. And I would not build it. I would not start building it because I knew it wouldn't stand up. And in the end, the only thing that persuaded her, you know, I did diagrams a lot. She still wasn't having it. But the only thing that persuaded her in the end was she said, you really believe this, don't you? And I said, yeah, and I'm not doing it. Yeah, I'm not starting it because it isn't going to work. So in the end, she agreed that she would whip 2 inches off it. And then once we came to stand it up, she said, I see what you mean. But she actually had to see it. Oh, school high. Let's have a look. Oh, what about euthanasia? We're getting very deep here. There are a lot of idiots that graduate from university compared to someone who owns a beauty shop and still know nothing. That's it. But there's a cachet with it, isn't there? University. Oh, my lads at university. Often it's the parents. It's the parents. Oh, now we've got the aubergine. Yeah, it was the aubergine, wasn't it? Yeah, not good. Not good. Wasn't there somebody in... Oh, I can't remember. It could have been Denmark, Holland, Sweden way. And they had like depression and they'd had all kinds of treatment for this depression and could not get past it. And in the end, and it was about 12 years they fought this battle, they decided they would euthanize themselves and they did. And it was just like, whoa. And they followed you through with this girl and you just wanted to hug her and say, you know, there is a reason to live. But she'd been at this for like 12 years and in her mind there wasn't. And off she went. Oh, shocking stuff. Shocking. That's it, Dee. Aren't physically ill, just want to leave. They're unhappy with it. And I think you need to push through for a certain amount of time, but you do have to question how long could somebody push through that? Sheridan at university keeping up appearances. That's so true. That is so true. Oh, yeah, I've seen a lot of the people who really believe that like a limb's possessed. You know, what do you do? In their mind, that's their reality. It is. There are a lot of moral dilemmas. It sounds like you all need to study jurisprudence. Think you would fabulously enjoy it. Because that's all the stuff that we did. And I just wanted a right answer. And obviously there isn't a right answer. There is not a right answer for half of them. The Spelunkian explorers were explorers who, basically it was Dudley and Stevens in a different guise. They were in a cave. And do the laws of the country apply in a physical location where it's a bit like the law at sea, where the captain has a gun and he has powers because you are like out of the jurisdiction. So in this cave, did the law have jurisdiction? It was tricky, and there wasn't a right answer. And a lot of the lecturers just loved going around talking about it in circles for hours. And I'm like, do you know what? Just give me the answer. What do they want on the exam? Right, that's fine. That's what I'll tell them. Life's too short. Life's too short for stuff like that. You're putting yourself through agonies of what would I do if, what would I do if. You'll drive yourself round the bend in the end. Anyway, I am going to have to head off. Oh, Kim, that's awful. That is awful. Jurisprudence breaks. Did mine as well. Hugs to you, Kim. Big, big hugs to you. I'd say if somebody had done that, they must be in such agony. Because otherwise, I think a lot of people, you just push through. They're probably calmer where they are now. But that doesn't help everybody that's left behind. I went into a client's company around 2000, I think it was. And this lady had been there, you know, I'd known this lady for 2 or 3 years. And she was always such a jolly person. And one of the other people caught me on the way in and said, like, you know, don't think she's been awkward, but her son committed suicide. He hung himself and she found him. And I couldn't believe it. And you just don't know what to say. What can you say? I think he was only about 19. It was awful. It was awful for everybody that was left behind. Obviously his family and friends, but, you know, even people like me who'd never met him. It was like, how on earth? What can I say to this woman? There's just no words. But she somehow managed to make like a positive out of it and put like a support group together in his name. I guess that's all that you can do. And a lot of people do that. But big, big, big hugs to you, Kim. Of course, Kim can always reach out. You could even send me a post-it note now, couldn't you, Kim? Only for the week, apparently. But we must do that. That's great fun. Right. OK, I am going to head off. Another week starts tomorrow in lockdown. And our holiday's over. But I've booked myself out of the office till the 1st of July because I can. But poor Mike's back at work, so it'll be an early night for him. So for the moment, I'll say goodnight from me. I will say goodnight from Mike, and we will both see you tomorrow. In the meanwhile, stay safe, guys.